Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
You have often heard 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 quoted. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Now, doctrinally, this particular verse of Scripture is situated in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 right after Solomon dedicates the temple that he has constructed. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, Solomon prays a prayer of dedication and asks the Lord for seven things which the Lord says that he will do. Now the glory of the Lord fills the house, and then Solomon offers sacrifices, a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. And then the Lord appears to Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12, by night, and says to him, "I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice," talking about the temple. But then look what he says in verse 13. "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people," then verse 14, "if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin," because what? They've turned from him, "and will heal their land." Why? Because there had been no rain, because of the locusts, and because of the pestilence among his people. So doctrinally, this particular passage of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, is written to Israel, and it is a promise from the Lord that if he shuts up heaven, sends in locusts, or sends a pestilence, and the people will do these things in verse 14, then he will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, which is what caused him to do the three things that he is talking about, rain, locust, and pestilence, and will heal their land, that is, from the consequence of the rain, locust, and pestilence. So it's very, very important for us to understand that if you and I were to claim this verse of Scripture for ourselves and for our country, you have somewhat of a problem, because he's talking about my people, which are called by my name, which be Israel, okay, and the promise that he made regarding the temple, okay, and regarding what God is doing to Israel when he promises to provide this answer to prayer. So it's important for us to understand there is a limitation to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. However, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 is a good passage on answered prayer. It is, and so we're going to study it today, because there are some things in here that will help us practically. You see, first of all, you want to keep in mind that 2 Chronicles 7:14 is not a recipe for getting prayers answered every time you pray. Some people say, well, if you do all these things, God's going to answer your prayer every time. Well, it's not a recipe. And this is not some best-selling passage like the prayer of Jabez. The prayer of Jabez was put into a little booklet and sent all over, because people they just wanted to treat it just like a good luck charm, or just like the magic entrance. If I pray this, God is going to bless me. It's not that kind of thing. This is a simple passage that illustrates for us a good way for you and I to get a hold of God after you have strayed away from him a bit, or after you have backslidden. Okay? When you want God to hear you after you have strayed, then this is a good passage to follow, because that's what happened or will happen, or what God's promising would happen if Israel were to be chastened by the Lord with drought, with locust, or with pestilence. Now, when you want God to hear you after you've strayed, here are the things to do that you find in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. First of all, reaffirm God as your Father. In 2 Chronicles 7, 14, God says, if my people which are called by my name, well, it's important for you then to reaffirm God as your Father, because you got to be his people. You got to be called by his name. Now, the reason I say it's good to be reaffirm God as your Father, you know what happens sometimes when you get backslidden? You don't really know, as far as you can go down, whether you're saved or lost. You really don't. And so what happens, it's important for you to remind yourself, to before God, reestablish your relationship with him. If you truly trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were born again, you were saved, you were baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, you became a child of God. If that really happened, I mean, if you really got saved, all those things happened. If you really got saved, then God is your Father. I mean, you may not be living like the son he wants you to be, but his son you are nevertheless. You're like the prodigal son in the book of Luke, who was the son of the father and left and came back. He didn't come back in the sense that he had to become a member of the family. He was already a member of the family and strayed away and came back. Again, doctrinally, that has a lot to do with Israel. But practically speaking, some of us got saved when we were younger and really, really had a bad detour and had to come back to the Lord. And it's very, very important that you reaffirm God as your Father, and that you recognize that you truly are saved if that's what happened to you. Now, going through that process, here's what will happen. If you weren't saved, if you simply made a religious profession of faith, you simply prayed a prayer, you simply walked the aisle when you were in teen camp because everybody else getting saved walked the aisle in teen camp, or somebody pressured you into praying a prayer and you prayed that prayer, but you weren't born again, you didn't become a child of God, you weren't baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, you simply went along with the ritual or the dictate of the person that was talking to you, if you really didn't get saved, then you know what? You need to get saved. That's why I said when you come back to the Lord and you are seeking God and you are seeking to get a prayer answered, you want to be sure that God is your Father. Either reaffirm God as your Father or be sure that God is your Father. Okay? That's so important. A lot of times people skip that step and they don't go through and really check their personal relationship with God. If my people, which are called by my name, are you his people? Are you called by the name of the Lord? Did you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you did, you truly got saved, then you're coming back like a prodigal son. If you didn't, then you're lost and you need to get saved. And I tell you what, I've met people in both conditions. Reaffirm God, or be sure. Reaffirm or be sure that God is your Father. That's what you need to do. So, so important. You see, if God really is your Father and you come back to him, you are already going to be just like a son in the presence of his Father, who senses that awesome awareness of being back in the presence of somebody who loves you very much and has been very concerned for you in your absence. So it leads to the next thing. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. You see, when you realize that you are in the presence of God Almighty and you're either coming back to him as a backslidden Christian or you are coming to him to be saved, you certainly recognize right away his awesome loving kindness, his great love, his superior forgiveness, his abundant mercy, his just indescribable goodness. And you know what? It humbles you. That's why he says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. I'll tell you, if you come in to God, in the presence of God Almighty, after you've been away from him, either because you were lost or you were saved and backslidden, and you do not humble yourself before God, you don't know God. You see, the temptation of most people coming into the presence of God after they have been confronted with sin in their life or backsliding or their lost condition may have a tendency to justify themselves before God. More people that I talk to who are away from God aren't interested in humbling themselves before God. They're interested in justifying themselves before God. They'll excuse their sin. They'll excuse their absence. They'll blame somebody else. I mean, I realize it's part of our human nature. That's what Adam did to Eve. That's what Eve did to the devil. They'll justify themselves before God. Well, God, you need to understand, you know, under normal circumstances, this wouldn't have happened. But if it hadn't been for oh so and so, I wouldn't have done this. So I want you to look the other way and pretend that it never happened. You're not in the presence of God. You're looking in the mirror. You think that God is like you and that he will believe your excuses. Listen, when you've returned to the Lord or come to the Lord and you are called by the Lord's name and you realize his abundant mercy and his long-suffering and his forbearance and his goodness and his gentleness and the depth of his love, you are humbled that God would even allow you in his presence. Now, you know that he wants you in his presence, but it's a humbling thought that he would bring you into his presence. Oh, I remember distinctly the night that God and I got things patched up so many years ago, 28 years ago. And I'll tell you what, the last thing in the world I wanted to do is justify myself before God. I knew that I had been in trouble, and I knew that I needed God. And I'll tell you, it wasn't... Please don't want to misunderstand me. It wasn't difficult to humble myself before God, not because of the fact that, oh, I was so humble, but because he was so great, and he is so great. And when you're in his presence in this type of condition of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if you're really with him, you're going down. The last thing in the world you want to do is throw up more of your pride and more of your sin before him and try to get him to go along with your reasons for why all that stuff happened to you in the past. It's nobody else's fault but your own. You're the one who made the decisions, and you're the one who's accountable. Be honest with him. All right, here's the next thing. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, though it is doctrinally applied to Israel, it is a great passage of Scripture for you and me, all right, when we're coming back to God. When you want God to hear you after you've strayed, all right, the third thing to do is to effectually and fervently pray. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. You know, it's interesting, but a lot of times people leave that part out. They humble themselves, they reaffirm their relationship with the Lord, and then they go on about their merry way. And he said, I don't want you to do that. I want you to stop right there and pray. And I said, like James did, effectually and fervently pray. Well, to effectually and fervently pray would be several things. First of all, it would be to examine yourself before God and clear the air, I say. It's like Psalm 139, where you come to the Lord and you say, now look, Lord, I've been away a long time, and I've been away from the Scripture for a long time, and I don't know what condition I'm in as far as your eyes are concerned, but I want you to search me out and find every wicked way in me, clear that out, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a good prayer, like a prayer of confession. It's just that you want to agree with God about everything that God calls sin in your life. You're not going to try to do an end run there. You're trying to get whole with God. Effectually pray. That is, take time to identify those things in your life that have come between you and God. Effectually pray. That is, ask the Lord specifically those things that you want. Ask the Lord specifically those things that you want Him, okay, to hear from you. Okay? In other words, a lot of times when people come back to the Lord in desperation and start talking with the Lord, there are things that you want to work out with God. You might need help with some health problem. You might need help with some business problem. You might need help with some financial problem. You may need help with some marital problem. You might need some help with some spiritual problem or mental problem or emotional problem in your life. Get with God and talk to Him about those things. Effectually pray. You may have a great need that has come up in your child's life. And what's happened is the Lord allowed the circumstances in your life or in your child's life to bring you to this place of humility. Now talk to Him about it where you are. I think it's a great idea when persons are coming back to the Lord and praying that they go over the things in their lives that have come between the Lord and disappointed the Lord, and go over the things in their lives for which they're sorry. Listen, forgiveness is something that has been completed for us in Jesus Christ, but what we're doing is enumerating those things that we don't want to have a part of our lives anymore. Fervently pray. I mean, cry out to God. So often, people want to just get up in the morning and say, Lord, I've got to go to the grindstone again. Got a lot of work to do here, so bless my day in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, bless the cereal in Jesus' name. Amen. And they run out the door. No communion with God. Basically, what the Lord is saying in this part of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, you and I haven't had any communion for a while. What we want to do is just sit down here and we want to talk a while. Effectually and fervently pray. All right, here's the next thing. Seek His face. Seek His face. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. When you talk about seeking the face of the Lord, what you're talking about is, obviously you're not going to be able to see Him, okay? You talk about seeking the face of the Lord, it's to get so close that there's nothing between you and Him. You are face to face with Christ my Savior. Nobody, no thought, nothing between. You see, it's more of what we said about effectually and fervently praying. It's reestablishing that communication, reestablishing that relationship with the Lord, whereby you and the Lord become, you know, best friends, where you and the Lord become in love, if you will, where you, like Song of Solomon writes about the bride and the husband, where you know Him and you are willing to suffer the loss of anything in order to be with Him, that He becomes the principal in your life, the first in your life, the foremost in your life, the preeminent in your life, the God of your life, the Lord of your life, the King of your life, where nothing else matters besides Him. Seek His face. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I mean, it's putting God in the place of exaltation, of glory, of preeminence, of superiority, of majesty, of magnificence, of high honor in your life, where He is your life. You see, when you want God to hear you after you've strayed a while, it's very important, first of all, to know that you're saved. It's secondly very important for you to humble yourself so you turn from your own pride and your own justification. It's very important for you to effectually and fervently pray where you establish communion with God and get anything out that's between you, I'm talking about in the way of sin, and where you seek His face, where the relationship builds, where you reestablish the friendship, where you love Him more than you love your own life. And then this. When you want God to hear you after you've strayed, last thing, turn from your wicked ways. That's what He said. And turn from their wicked ways. If My people, which are called by My name, saved, shall humble themselves, humility, and pray effectually and fervently, and seek My face, reestablishing that relationship, and turn from their wicked ways. All right. This is where you go back to the Y in the road. This is where you go back to the place where you turned. You find the place of rebellion. You find the place of stubbornness. You find the place of disobedience in your life. And you go back to that place and you say, right there is where I took a fork in the road. This is where I detoured. This is where I went in the broad way. And you go back to that way and say, now look, Lord, I'm going back to that joint. I'm going back to that juncture. And I'm not going that way anymore. You go back to that place of rebellion. You recognize where it was that you strayed from the Lord. And you say, okay, I'm going to pick it up right here. And I'm not straying that way anymore. I'm not going to go for my stubborn way anymore. I'm not going to disobey You anymore. And what do? You go back to that Y in the road. And you know what you do? You pick up and go in the way that you should have gone. In the spiritual way. In the narrow way. In the Bible way. In the upright way. You see? And when you do that, then what you do is you get back on the right path. You turn from your wicked ways. Listen, if you're going to effectually, fervently pray and seek His face, you can't very well keep on with what you've been doing in the past. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, written doctrinally to Israel, because God had shut up rain from heaven and sent locusts to devour the land and send pestilence among the people, shook the people up. And they realized, hey, we made a mistake here. God said that He would hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land if, among other things, they would turn from their wicked ways. Listen, if you're going to try to have fellowship with God and prayer and seeking His face and humbling yourself before Him, but you want to go on with your same wicked ways, you and God aren't going anywhere together. You're not going to get past where you are right now. You're stuck. But when you want God to hear you after you've strayed and you want to get back on the beaten path, that means you got to get off of the path you're on. Turn from your wicked ways. You say, well, the ways I'm doing are not nearly as wicked as the ways of other people. It doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference. Listen, a good friend of mine told me a story one time about a fellow that went to work for a carpet cleaning company, a company that goes into apartments and vacuums the floor and cleans the carpets and cleans the baseboards and whatnot and gets the apartment ready for the next occupant, okay? And so this fellow who'd been in the business a long time hired a young man to be an employee, and he said, okay, here's how I want you to do things, and I'm going to put you over here with this steam cleaner, vacuum cleaner device. I want you to go in, and I want you to clean this apartment well enough for the next occupant. And I'll come back in an hour and a half and pick you up, and then we'll go to the next job, and I'll check how your work was. Well, the guy went in there, and of course it was superior equipment. And the young man went in there, started running that vacuum cleaner, that steam cleaner. I mean, in 30 minutes, he had cleaned that apartment. It was amazing how good the equipment was and how well he'd been trained. And so he goes, and he sits on the deck or whatever that is at the apartment complex. And sure enough, an hour and a half later, his boss comes by and he says, you already finished up? He said, oh, yeah, man. He said, I finished that in 30 minutes. It's amazing how good this equipment is. He said, well, let's go in and take a look at what you've done. So the guy went in there and with the, you know, other equipment that he had, he tested the carpet, he tested the baseboards, he tested the floors and so forth. And he found all kinds of dirt that was not visible easily to the naked eye. And he said, look at all this dirt here. You didn't clean this. I told you it was going to take you an hour and a half at least to do this job. You couldn't have finished it in 30 minutes. And the young man said, well, I'll tell you what, it looked like it to me. And here's what the carpet cleaning apartment, you know, turnover man said. Here's what he said. He said, young man, until you call dirt what I call dirt, we're not going to be able to work together. All right. You know what that illustrates? That illustrates you and God. God sees it differently than you do. He sees your wicked ways as wicked, even though you don't see them so wicked. And God says to you and me, he says, until you call sin what I call sin, we're not going very far together. And that's true. So you have to turn from your wicked ways, even those you didn't think were so wicked that God definitely thought were wicked. Turn from these. All right. So 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 is doctrinally directed to Israel when God sent drought, sent locusts, sent pestilence. It's a promise that if they would, if Israel, the people that call by my name, would humble themselves, pray, seek the Lord's face, and turn from their wicked ways, he would hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Doctrinally, it doesn't apply to us because in Jesus Christ, our sins are already forgiven, okay? And we're not looking for land to be healed. But this prayer still represents a good example for us spiritually on how to get ourselves in a right relationship with the Lord in prayer after we have strayed, after we've sinned, after we've backslidden. And as a reminder, here are the points again. First of all, be sure of your relationship with the Father. Reaffirm that God is your Father. That is, be sure that you're saved. Secondly, humble yourself before him, which you will do when you realize how great he is and how small you are. Effectually and fervently pray. That is, reestablish your communication and communion with the Lord. Seek his face so that there is a relationship of friendship and love and your willingness to lose anything in order to get close to him, and then turn from your wicked ways, what he calls wicked. And you know what? He'll hear you, and you'll know that he hears you. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.